Okay. This month, as I shared a little bit earlier, we're looking at the theme of not of this world. We're not of this world. We heard in the manifestations that God has called us. He knew us before we were even born. And and he has a purpose for all of our lives. And it's not to be engaged in this world, but that we can work within this world to help people become born-again ones. In other words, we're the lights of the world. Believers are the lights of the world. There, if anybody's going to get saved, born again, it's going to be a believer, more likely, sharing the truth of God's word, which we heard in the manifestations, how important that is, that really makes the difference. So, you know, with a son of God, a daughter of God, with a basic knowledge of God's word, identifying with him, the Lord Jesus Christ, and knowing that we are seated in the heavenlies, right? We serve not a dead Christ, but a risen Lord and Savior. He's alive. He's at the right hand of God, and so are we. So we've been bought with a price, and we're not of this world. Our God bought us so that we don't belong or are subject to this world. We don't have to be. So in light of this, we don't need to look at this world for success, look at this world for satisfaction, for fulfillment, for purpose. But we can look to our Heavenly Father, our God. You know, I know this world's crazy out there, all the craziness going on, but we don't need to allow that to guide our steps. So where is our focus? Where do we focus? Where do we look? Do we look down at this world that we're in?
No.
No, no. You know, we look up. And why do we look up? Because it's the Lord Jesus Christ that's seated in the heavenlies. And just our nature and how we think and believe, you know, we look up to our God, don't we? And what I'm sharing with you tonight, I've titled, Keep Looking Up. Keep looking up. Because so many times we get finagled by this world and we are downtrodden looking down. But keep looking up. We're sons of God. Our focus is on the living Lord and Savior seated at the right hand of God. Yeah, it's a big deal. And, you know, you should be good at looking up. I would imagine yesterday you had practice looking up at all the fireworks going on, right? I'm sure most of you saw the fireworks and were looking up at the fireworks and ah and ooh and all the how all the lights and the sounds and everything else. And that's fun. That's neat. But, you know, for us, we want to keep looking up spiritually. And I want to share some practical things with you to help you keep looking up, okay? And these three things that we're going to look at is one, your expectations from him. Are you looking up, having expectations from him? Or are you looking to this world and have expectations of it? And then secondly, is our prayer life and being thankful in our prayer life. Our expression of knowing who we are, that our prayer life is sweet because when we pray in a spiritual sense, we look up to our Heavenly Father. And then the third thing I want to remind you of tonight as born-again ones is there's one more reason why we look up.
Because he's coming back.
He is coming back, and we need to have our focus with that expectation, don't we? So let's look at Psalms 62. We got a number of verses we'll look at and here tonight. So expectations. That's why we look up. expectations, right? So in Psalm 62:5, it says, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is what?
From Him.
It's from Him. It's from Him." Yeah, verse 6, 7, and 8. Could you read verse 6, 7, and 8 as well?
The New King James. "He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God."
Yeah, yeah. See, that's who we look to. That's our expectation, is our God, our Heavenly Father. Take a look at Proverbs, if you would. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 17. We'll look at verse 17 and 18. "Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear," or we know that means what?
Reverence.
"Reverence of the Lord," how long?
All day long.
All day long, right? You know, I get it. We look at people that have certain riches or certain items that maybe we wish we had, or they have a house that we would sure love to live in, or they've got a great boat, or they're doing this, they're doing that, and we look at them, we envy sinners, but we don't need to do that. Where is our reverence of the Lord? And our reverence is with Him all day long. Isn't that a great section? Let's look at 24. We're right there in Proverbs 24:14. Proverbs 24:14. "So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. When thou hast found it, then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off." Pretty neat, huh? "Lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place, for a just man falleth seven times and rises up," what? "Again. But the wicked shall fall into mischief. Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth, lest the Lord see it and is displeased him, and he turn away his wrath from him. Fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked, for there shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out." So, you know, in the end, you want to be on God's side. You want to be in His family. And all the so-called neat things or good things we see in the world, we don't have to envy. But we can have great expectations with our loving Heavenly Father for the things that really, really count. Now let's go to Jeremiah. Let's go to Jeremiah. Here's some great practical truths here for us to live in this world by not being of it, though. So Isaiah, Jeremiah 29, verse 10. 29:10. "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place." Now, if you remember, the Jews, the Israelites, they were so far out in left field, they got taken in by their neighbors to the extent that they didn't exist in their homeland. And the Judeans were in Babylon. But God gave them a hope. God said, 70 years and you're coming back. Verse 11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you what?
A future,
an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will what? I will hearken unto you. I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with what?
All your heart.
Man, we just got to put our heart into who we are in Christ. For us today, as born again ones, and go to our Father with our heart open to Him. It's a big deal. It really is a big deal. Well, another aspect I shared with you is our prayer life, as far as looking up and having that thought in your mind as we recognize God and we look up to Him. So in Matthew 14, let's take a look at that, verse 19. Matthew 14, we see the Lord Jesus Christ. And this has got to be one of the great miracles of all miracles. I mean, He did a bunch of them, walking on water and all kinds of things. But when He turned a few fishes and bread into feeding thousands of people, my goodness, that must have been quite something. So here in Matthew 14 is that record. And in verse 19, and this is what Jesus does in that situation. In verse 17, it says, we have but 5 loaves and 2 fish. So He said, bring them to me. Verse 19, and He commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven. Mm-hmm. He looked up to heaven. What was He doing? He was looking to His Father, right? He's looking up to God. He blessed and broke and gave the loaves to His disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides men and children. So there was, I don't know, 10,000,
Really.
Phenomenal. You know, they had a little fish and chips, and there was only enough there for a few folks. And so God did a wonderful miracle. But what did He do? You know, the situation, He's right in the middle of this situation. These thousands of people, they're hungry, and they're out in the boonies. But what does He do? He looks up, right? He looks up in prayer and talks to the Father, and God opens the door for Him to do this magnificent miracle. You know, we have confidence in our Heavenly Father. We need to have confidence in Him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And He will come through. He will come through. Our expectations is that He will always do His word. If He says it in His word, He will do it. And as we pray with expectation, He will answer our prayer. So we just keep looking up to Him with expectations, with prayers of thanksgiving. And that's a great attitude to have, is one of thanksgiving. If you're going to God in prayer, making requests, and you're kind of, come on, God, come on, get it together here. I need this. I don't know how you're going to get that one answered. But if you go to Him thanking Him, realizing that He is the supplier of your need, that He loves you, He cares for you, then He's going to come through. God will come through. So we look up to Him with thanksgiving. And this is a part of this principle I'm sharing with you. Hebrews 13:15. You know, I think it's interesting. I've watched a few ball games, and the Padres here, the San Diego Padres, they have all these great players, and their expectation was very high for them to do well, and they're not doing that well. But you know what is interesting? These guys, they'll hit a home run, or they'll even get a hit, and they'll go on the base. And what do? Some of them, they look up. Now, I don't know what that means. I don't know if they're praying or being thankful or what, but not a bad thing to do is to look up to our Heavenly Father through the day and thank Him. So Hebrews 13:15 says, let your conversation, your manner of living, your lifestyle be without what? Covetousness. Gimme, gimme, gimme. I want this. I want that. No, our manner of living, our conversation is not like that. Be content with such things as you have. What do you have? Holy Spirit, the hope of Christ's return, eternal life, Christ in you. Wow. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, that's quite a surety there, right?
Mm-hmm.
God never will leave us nor forsake us. In 2 Thessalonians 2:13, you know, as we keep looking up, and that's my point tonight, is we're not of this world. We don't look to the world. We just keep looking up to our Father. And in doing that, we do it with thanksgiving, okay? Our prayer of thanksgiving. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. We heard that in the manifestation, didn't we? Mm-hmm. Through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Wow. We sure can be thankful for that, huh? In 1 Thessalonians, go back to the twin brother there, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, great encouragement here, 5:17, pray without ceasing, 18, in everything give thanks, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Pretty neat, huh? Yep, that's our God. Colossians 1:3. I'm going to read this for you. I've got it written down, so I'm just going to read Colossians 1:3 and 4. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith, your believing in Christ Jesus, and of the love which you have to all the saints. So this is a wonderful part of looking up and not looking to the world. We have the attitude of expectation. We pray with thanksgiving. And then this third part, as I've tried to delineate here, is hope. Is the hope. We are looking up, expecting Him to return any time, right? Now, we have overcast days here in San Diego on the coast. I guess He says He's coming in the clouds. Well, I guess He's not coming here first. Okay. That sounds good. Well, in Acts, let's take a look at Acts here. 1:8, chapter 1, verse 8. This great verse here, Jesus tells them, but you're going to receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Verse 9. And when He had spoken these things while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. So that's why we keep looking up, knowing that he's coming back at any time, any minute, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and when he does come back, as 1 Corinthians 15:51 says, and I'll read this for you, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." So we have that expectation of being changed when Christ comes back for us. So why do we keep looking up? Well, our expectation is from him, right? We know that he answers prayer, so we pray with thanksgiving. And we know Christ is coming back because he went that way. He's got to come back the same way, right? It says that's the promise in the Word. So we don't have to be subject to this crazy world and succumb to all the craziness that's going on. We are the lights of the world. We have some wonderful things that we can do for the people on this planet here. And we can hold forth the words of life so that people can get born again of God's Spirit. And so we just keep looking up, right? Just keep looking up at him. He's our focus. He's the one that really counts. Our Heavenly Father, he is the one and only. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, Father, we thank you for your love and grace in our lives, that we can have great expectation as we look up to you and pray to you with thanksgiving in our hearts. We know you're sending back your Son, our Lord and Savior, any moment now, and we have that expectation too. So we're just grateful that we have this lifestyle of looking up to you. And we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.